Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and just thank you for getting us through a year, one more rotation around the sun. And Lord, we're just grateful for every opportunity that we have to praise you, to get to know you, to learn to love each other, to learn to understand you, and to understand your love for us, understand our value and our worth in your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that this morning and understand how valuable you are. And that's where our worth comes from. We're created and loved by you. It's not just something we make up. It's from you. It's from the creator of the universe that tells us how valuable we are. And so we're extremely grateful for that, Lord. I just pray that this morning you would help us to tune our ears to what you have to say to us through your word and through your servants. Lord, I just pray that you be with the drama team as they present an interesting angle on the message today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've just got a few verses here. Oh, by the way, we're just being thematic for the first couple of weeks in January, and then we're going to go back to 2 Samuel. I know you guys are missing 2 Samuel, all the death and murder and betrayal and assassination. It sounds a lot like us, the United States. Anyway, here we go. 2 Corinthians 9, 6b. You're 15. I don't know what it says in 6a, but it ruins the whole thing. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yay! And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way and be generous in every way, through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
It's a wardrobe.
It's a wardrobe. I thought it was Pathfinder that all the young kids were studying. Not the case. No. Oh, they're grabbing their journals, so they aren't fleeing from that. That's good. Well, as you may have guessed from the skit, we're talking about giving and generosity today. Or maybe from the scripture verse, you know, if you're paying attention to that part. God directs us to give away our money and our possessions. But for some reason, we aren't very good at that. We don't like doing that. We use our money for our security. It has a purpose. And we buy stuff for pleasure. And we have hoarders who collect possessions far past the point of inconvenience, where it is causing damage in their life, and it's difficult, and makes things hard to do. But giving and generosity is one of the ways that we can increase our spiritual sensitivity. Remember last week, Beth listed off some ways that we can increase our spiritual sensitivity, and this is another one that we're going to discuss today. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Dear Father, we just ask that as we come to you today, that we would be attentive to you and the work that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in us, and responsive to that, that you would be doing a powerful work in us as individuals and as a body as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'm going to start out just with the definition right up front. Generosity is showing the sincerity of our love by giving unsparingly. Generosity is showing the sincerity of our love by giving unsparingly. In 1 John 3, John tells us that we can't just say we love. We can't just use words for love. Our love has to have deeds behind it. We have to act on it. And generosity is one of the ways that we can do this. And some of you are probably really good at being generous. Some of you are probably really good at giving. And some of you, maybe this is a new idea and something that you need to grow in. Actually, I think even those of us who are good at good things need to grow in things too. We all like people who are genuinely generous. I think if you think over the people in your life, probably some of your favorite people are generous people. Maybe you have a favorite uncle or a favorite aunt or a friend that maybe one of their primary features is that they're generous and giving. Hey kids, can you guys think of anything that can you guys think of any examples in your life, people you know who you feel like are really generous or giving?
My dad.
Your dad? Nice. What sort of things does he give you?
One time he gave me when I lost one of my special stuffies when I got lost on a family trip. He gave me a giant squishy.
Oh, nice. Your mom? What sort of things does she give you?
She doesn't give me things, but she gives homeless people food.
Nice. Great. Good example. Yeah. What else? Anybody have another example? Sweet. Yeah.
Your friends?
Yeah, how do you see them giving? They give things to you or other people or share things? You know, Jesus himself was a very generous person. I would say this is probably a defining characteristic of who Jesus was. You look throughout his interactions with people, he frequently was giving people a lot of things. He was taking care of them, he was giving them food, he was feeding them, and the people around him would be like, I can't believe you want to do this thing and give this stuff away, and he would do it anyways. And he would make it happen. And so when we practice generosity and when we practice giving, it's one way for us to show that we are his. When we practice giving, it shows Jesus' love and compassion outwardly. When we practice giving, it shows that we have a trust that we are cared for and provided for. And that's really unusual in the world. It shows, when we can have that sort of trust, it shows that we are connected with the God who has a heavenly storehouse that is overflowing. Let's look at that 2 Corinthians 9 section again. We'll start on the first slide. And I want you to look for verses, look for words specifically describing God's abundance. Single words. You notice a single word there, just one of them that shows God's abundance. Bountifully, that's great. Any others you see? I see another one.
Sufficiency.
Sufficiency, good. Abound, great. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see, is there something in there? Oh yeah, I see
righteousness.
One. Righteousness? Well, he is abounding in righteousness. That's a good try, yeah.
Freely.
What?
Freely.
Freely, good. Distributed, yeah, that means he has stuff to give, right?
Increase.
Increase, good. I like multiply there and 10 too, a little bit before that. Yeah. Yeah, great. Let's go to the next one. See if there's a couple more on there. Other, you see others? Oh, yeah. Overflowing. Yeah, you guys saw that one there. And so you see how this whole verse, this whole section, like it's talking about us being generous, but it uses all these phrases to talk about the abundance of God as the backing for our generosity. Right? Words like bountifully and abundant and multiplying and increasing and overflowing and surpassing. And there's a situation I really like where it actually happened multiple times. So Jesus had a whole group of people and they were out in the wilderness and he's like, you know what, we need to feed these people. And it said there was 5,000 men in one of them, and that didn't include they didn't count all the families, they just did a quick count, right? And they're like, 5,000, there's a lot of people, right? So they have like a stadium of people there. And he's like, oh, he had compassion on me. Like, these people are out in the wilderness, we should feed these people. And the disciples are like, you have to be joking, right? He's like, no, I want you to feed these people. And they're like, all we have is a little bit of loaves and fishes. He's like, go for it. And what happened was they broke up that loaves and fishes and they passed it all out and everybody had plenty to eat and they had leftovers. And a little bit later, the same thing happens. This time I think there was like 4,000 people there, right? And the exact same thing happens and Jesus tries out and he goes, I think you guys should feed these people. And one of the disciples is like, do you know how much that would cost? Like, we don't have the money for that. We don't have the money to be that generous. That's impossible. And then Jesus made it happen again. And then a little bit later, they're in a boat. I love this story because Jesus is just talking to them and teaching them about something else, and you can see this thing spinning in their mind, right? Like they had bread issues, I think. I think
your battery died.
I'll take care of that right away.
They had bread issues. So let's go to the next scripture verse that I have here, Mark 8. Mark 8, it says, and he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? They said to him, 12. 12 basketfuls, right? And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? He is not limited but in what he wants to provide. He is not limited in what he wants to give. And if he says, I want you to give something, he's going to provide what is needed to give that. But the disciples, they go, but we don't have bread. So when we are giving, when we are generous, when we practice this, it shows that we have a trust that we are cared for and provided for, that we are connected with the heavenly storehouse that is overflowing. And another way to show that we are his when we are generous is it shows the quality of his kingdom and his reign. Because we are his children, we are his citizens, and we practice that goodness of giving and generosity, it shows his quality. See, the world system, it functions on completely different principles. The world system functions on scarcity and competition. You got to look out for number one. You got to be your absolute best. You have to have your A game to make it. You have to watch out. You have to protect your stuff. So genuine generosity stands out as being distinctly different. And I say genuine generosity because, like from the skit today, there's a difference between genuine generosity and superficial giving. And we're usually pretty good at superficial giving and not so great at genuine generosity. I know that sometimes when people do superficial giving, somehow it's for themselves, right? Adults, have you guys ever given a gift to somebody where maybe your motives weren't completely all good, altruistic? Anybody given a gift that...
On a regular basis,
okay. Just Brooks? I'll raise my hand, I know. You aren't alone, Brooks. Everybody else. So what are reasons that somebody might give a gift and it not be for the right reasons? What are those motives?
Manipulation.
Okay, we'll get to that. Hold on. How could a gift be manipulation?
It's like a gentle hint. Sometimes people think
of something
they need, but they don't
really.
Deodorant.
Yeah, here's some deodorant. Here's some exercise equipment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looking
shiny, yeah.
You want to look
yeah,
shiny.
Sometimes we want to look shiny ourselves, right? Like our image, like we want it to look good that we're giving this thing.
It's something you actually want.
Yeah. This happens with spouses a lot, right? We're like, congratulations, here's that new season of whatever that I wanted to watch. Yeah.
Obligation.
Obligation, that's
so
a big one.
It's like Christmas. And the family always does this, and you're expected to do that. You won't get your gift if you stop giving your gifts. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Keep the family, like, happy.
Yeah. Or, like, gifts to bosses and things like that. Right. Often those are more obligation than something you're doing out of joy for certain. Yeah. Somehow, often when people give, it can be strangely for themselves. And one of the ways that you see this is, it's actually a pretty big thing right now for businesses to be giving. And that's not necessarily a horrid thing, but then they advertise it. Our company gave away $750,000 to this whatever, right? Which is fine. There's no harm in that. But it has no world, no kingdom, heavenly merit to it. It's just giving, right? And we're talking about a giving that isn't that way. So Jesus said that when we give, we aren't supposed to broadcast that on social media, right? Hey, by the way, I'm really generous. That's great. We're supposed to keep that to ourselves. Our reward will come from Him when we're doing that. So we keep that quiet. Also, sometimes superficial giving is really tightly structured, right? Like, that'd be like my example would be like, if Jesus said, okay, go feed the crowd, and they went and they go, okay, there's 5,000 people here. That means everybody gets a tiny little fleck, and they go out, and they're like, okay, here's one tiny little fleck for you. Nope, no more. And one tiny little fleck for you. And it goes through that sort of process. Or even worse, they're like, all right, well, we need to eat, so we're going to take half. And now, okay, everybody else gets half a tiny little fleck. And it goes through that process. And sometimes superficial giving feels that way. Have you ever had somebody, like, do something that they felt like was generous and had a weird stingy feel to it, where it felt like, oh, we're being generous, but you don't actually get what I'm sharing? Sometimes that happens, and that's not genuine generosity. So my question today is, who do you want to be? More importantly, what do you want your heart to be like? Because as Christians, we have to wrestle with this idea of generosity, because part of growing up, part of maturing in Jesus is growing in generosity, because it was a key characteristic of him. Let's go back to the first section in 2 Corinthians, verse 9. Probably the first one.
Sorry.
We'll get there. Actually, it's that one. There. So it says there, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. This is why he came, this is what his purpose was. This was, from the very onset, Jesus' purpose was to be generous. And so if we're going to be becoming like Jesus, like we're supposed to be as Christians, becoming like Jesus, we have to grow in generosity. And oftentimes we think of this as an older person thing, right? Like giving for the church, we'll think of, oh, that's like what people in their like maybe late 40s or 50s, like they're taking care of that, they're making sure the lights stay on, and, you know, people get paid, and the mission's getting taken care of. There's this, we have a student, Angie and I did when we were doing college ministry, who was from South Korea. And in their perspective, their whole culture was set up where the older, eldest people took care of everything. So like they always knew everybody's age. It was hyper attentive. Like you were in a group, you go out to eat with somebody, everybody would know everybody's age, and the oldest person would pay for everything. Right? But you also had to do everything that the eldest person said. Right? And you had to go through that whole process. You had to show them deferential respect that was really extreme. Right? They said, I think you should be doing this with your life, and you're going to go do that with your life. Right? But that's not how Christian culture works. You are all of you, at the right age to practice the habit of giving. All at the right age. Because that's who we need to be. Because the practice of generosity in the Christian life moves us from selfishness to kindness. It moves us from scrambling for survival to a place of relying and trusting God. It moves us from a place of irresponsibility where we aren't considering the needs of people around us and the needs of the kingdom to a place of responsibility where we're taking on the purpose and the mission of what he has on his heart, it should be what's on our heart. How we spend our money shows our purpose. But our purpose is no longer, as Christians, our own survival or our pleasure. We have a new purpose that is glorifying God by becoming like Jesus, the one who gave everything for us, and building up his kingdom. All that we have is his. So we died with Jesus. We were buried with Jesus. We were raised with Jesus. But now it's not our life, it's his life we're living. Everything we have is his. So our giving becomes an act of worship. We are giving what he has given us, what is his, for the usage for him. And you can see that, let's go back one more slide to verse 7. See that in verse 7, it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. They want the giving, they want the generosity to be an outflow of our hearts. Right? This is how it's worship. It should not be given with compulsion. It shouldn't be an obligation that we're doing. So, you know, I volunteered for this message. And I don't think we're talking about finances or anything like that. But, you know, I'm kind of the new guy. And pastors lots of times are reluctant to talk about finances because it can come across weird. And it can sound like maybe they just want to get more money in the offering box or fill up the seats with financial donors. And Dan and Beth don't feel that way at all.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
But, like, that's how it feels. And there's churches where you feel that, right? But we also, what we do want is we want people to be growing in their relationship with Jesus, and your money has an awful lot to do with how you're growing. Where you're placing your trust, where you're placing your security, how you're seeking your pleasure. Whether you identify your money, your finances, your possessions as God's, has a great deal to do with your growth in Him. We have to increase our sensitivity. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, we can practice giving. So we have two verses here. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Probably quite a few slides forward. There we go. As for the rich in this present age, charge them, so it's the rich. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. That's how it should be, right?
Amen.
The rich, be generous, right? And then we have the next slide. Jesus was in the temple, and Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." There is value and giving for all of us, because it attacks what we tend to put our most hope in. It works on us here, and it addresses our values and what we care about. So, a good place to start is giving for your church. Because those monies go into your body. It's like caring for your own family. So if you aren't doing this, or you aren't maybe doing this on a regular basis, there is a little box in the back, by the bathroom door right there. It's very subtle. You know, they don't pass the plate. They don't strong arm you into giving. It's back there, and Kathy takes care of it very responsibly and counts it out and works with the leadership and gets it where it needs to go. To take care of the body, to continue the mission that God has given the church. And you may say, maybe a phrase comes into your mind, God doesn't really care about money. Right? It's just a thing. It's going to pass away. Well, you're right. It's going to pass away. But He cares about your heart when it comes to money. And I think this is why there's more verses about money in the Bible than most any other topic. I saw one number that said there's over 2,300 verses about money and possessions in the Bible. I didn't count. You're welcome to. And another one I saw, which I'm not going to verify, but I know there's some hint of truth to it at least, that says that people say that Jesus spoke more about money than any other topic. I didn't count. I didn't do the analysis myself, but he talks about money a lot, right? It comes up a lot. And then there's the section, you guys know the story of the rich young ruler. What did he tell the rich young ruler to do?
Give away everything.
Give away everything. Sell all you have, get into the poor, and come follow me. Maybe when that verse comes up, you think to yourself, that direction to sell your possessions, that was only for the rich young ruler. Except, let's go to Luke 12 here, the next verse. So this, he's just talking to his disciples. And he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sell your possessions and give the needy." I think it's interesting out of that verse that it starts with "fear not." That's really what a lot of our issues with generosity and giving comes from. There's an awful lot of fear that blocks that. So if you're feeling fear about those things, that's where it's probably a good place to tackle with God, about your security with Him and His plan and His care for you. So how to grow in this? The first thing I would suggest is to pray for a heart of generosity. About 5 or 6 years ago, maybe some of you heard me tell this story, I don't remember, but about 5 or 6 years ago, Angie and I, when I would bring up something that I wanted to give money to with Angie, she would go, I don't know, or maybe we could give less. And I felt like I was pushing on that, and it occurred to me that this was really something in her heart, and so I started just praying about it. And about 1 month later, so I was just praying about it, I didn't talk to her about it, about 1 month later she comes to me for the first time in our marriage ever, first time in like 15 years, she comes to me and she goes, I'd really like to give some money to this person. And it was new. And since then, it's just grown. So now she comes to me frequently. She's like, I think we should give money to this thing, or this mission, or this thing that's going on. And often when she says her number, inside I'm like, that kind of stings. But I go with it. Because that's who I want her to be. That's who I want to be married to, is the generous person. That's who I want you guys to be. That's who Jesus wants you guys to be. That's who I want to be. So pray for hearts of generosity, and pray for a heart of generosity that spreads to all areas of your life. Okay? Sometimes we're really good at going, oh, well, I give 10%. And then we're not generous with our time, and we're not generous with our effort, or our work, or our space, or our conversations, or our relationships. It needs to spread through the whole area of our life, so that as we go throughout the world, people look at us and they go, there's something distinctly different about them. And I think it might have something to do with the fact that they're generous. Right? So that when you go and you leave a tip at a restaurant, they aren't like, that stingy person, I bet you they were a Christian. Right? But that happens. That happens. I would also encourage you to be intentionally systematic in your giving, and also spontaneous. Do both. Try to set things up in your life so that you can do both things. At the beginning of the month, at the first fruits, or when you first get your money, or you first get your check, set aside some of that. Right? And then set aside some more to hold on to look for opportunities that God might give you just to be spontaneous. The last thing I'd say as far as how to grow in generosity is that as you practice generosity, you'll probably find if you have messy finances, that it's hard to be generous if you have messy finances. And that if you want to be more generous, you're going to have to get a hold of God. And I think it was probably around the same time that I told you that story about Angie, that we got a handle on our finances, and we started doing an envelope system. And not only did it solve a whole lot of stresses in our marriage, it helped us be more generous. Because we knew what was happening with our finances, and we had extra because we weren't blowing it. You know, if you spend $5 a day on an expensive coffee without thinking about it, that adds up really fast. Really fast, right? And so that's like, okay, I'm going to do the math real time, but I'm going to do the math. $150 a month, right? Times 12, $6,000? Is that good math? $6,000 for a coffee. What could you do with $6,000? What if you had the opportunity right now to go, if I was going to be generous in giving to somebody here who really needed it, could they use $6,000?
Your math is off a little bit there.
Is it off?
Yeah.
What is it? What?
1800.
1800. Thanks. 1800.
Well, that's better. I can do that.
Yeah. 1800. But still, 1800. Thank you. So we get control of our finances. So if you need to do that, if you need to talk to somebody, how can I get a hold of my finances? Angie and I'd be happy to talk to you about what we do. There's also Dave Ramsey has great classes that happen everywhere. Like, I think they're Financial Peace University is what they're called. And they're going to teach you the envelope system and help you do that. And if you're committed in that sort of process and you want to do that, a season of taking a class like that would really help you out. They're on YouTube also. Like, we just Googled it and figured it out. But some people, the structure would be helpful for. So as we think about generosity and giving, I want you to start looking around you for needs. Consider what the needs of the church would be, of your church family, of the community around you, of your family around you. Consider how generosity and giving, being brought up a notch, would affect the people around you. Pray about that. Discuss those things. Where do you think, are there people you think have needs? Think about those things. Again, my goal, and I know Dan and Beth's goal too, and leadership here, is not money in the box. It's not seats filled with financial donors. Our goal is to have people who are growing in Jesus by having hearts filled with generosity. And that generosity is genuine because you're maturing to be the people that God wants you to be. Because part of growing up to be like Jesus, who gave his all for us, is putting on his heart of generosity and practicing giving. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time where we could think about something that sometimes makes us squirm, which is giving up our stuff. And we ask that you would help us to think of this in such a way that it makes us excited. That we could have joy in giving, that we would give with cheerfulness. And that we would see ourselves changing and our spouses changing, our family members and our children. That the church would be defined with generosity as a characteristic of your son. In Jesus' name, amen.